CKUT Radio.
Radio.
Sound wave in the air.
CKUT.
Montreal, Canada.
CKUT.
It's time to take sampling to a whole new level. Pleasant good afternoon to you, Montreal. Welcome to West Indian Rivers. My name is Howard Carr. And the co-host of the show,
Thief Sanka.
And along with the rest of the crew,
DJ Nicholas.
Special guest, DJ. With the news,
Brian Amplify.
Welcome to West Indian Rhythms. On CKUT 90.3 FM,
People's Station.
Super quick history at
Jamaica. The third largest Caribbean island, Jamaica chilled alone in the cheerful sun for many years until its first inhabitants alighted on its sandy shores, though no one's exactly sure when this was, but at least 3,000 years ago. Those mysterious first arrivals were followed by similarly mysterious second arrivals, noted for their redware pottery. And then, around the year 800, the Taino people made the island home, cultivators of cassava and corn, who abode in villages of wood, palm leaves, and straw. The island was spotted by Christopher Columbus in 1494, and he declared it the fairest isle that eyes have beheld. If only the ensuing years in Jamaica were as sightly as its scenery. The Spanish took control and treated the Taino harshly in their insatiable search for riches. Forced labor and introduced disease decimated native numbers to the extent that Spain began importing fresh slaves from Africa. Enslaved persons who escaped their masters fled to the mountains and became known as the Maroons, a small beacon of liberty in an island of chains. Skipping ahead to the mid-17th century, we find Jamaica lumbering along with a population of only a few thousand, which made it easy pickings for the British, who snatched it from Spain in 1655. The British defended their prize, and Port Royal became a sort of rum-swilling pirate paradise for a while, Britain encouraging piratical pillaging of Spanish ports. After Spain formally recognized Britain's occupation of Jamaica, the British didn't need the pirates anymore and set about executing them again. Britain made a lot of money from Jamaica after importing many more African slaves to toil on plantations of indigo, cacao, and most profitably, sugarcane. British forces also ended up engaged in fierce fighting with the Maroons in the island's interior, who scored several successes under leaders like Queen Nanny with their proficient usage of guerrilla warfare. Another slave revolt followed, and on its heels, another war with the Maroons. Just in case it all wasn't clear enough, there was another slave revolt in 1831, led by Baptist preacher Samuel Sharp. Though unsuccessful, this was the age of the abolitionists, and freedom was in the air. And in 1834, slavery was finally ended across the British Empire. Unfortunately, life for the average Jamaican didn't get much better, and it was in protest over poor conditions and injustice that another Baptist preacher, Paul Bogle, arose to lead the Morant Bay Rebellion in 1865, which was viciously suppressed by Governor Edward John Eyre, who ordered Bogle's execution for high treason. But Jamaicans didn't stop in their efforts to improve their lot. Pan-Africanist, writer and activist Marcus Garvey galvanized crowds with his ambitious proposals. He would later inspire several figures in the American civil rights movement. 1962 saw Jamaica achieve independence whilst remaining part of the British Commonwealth. Economic growth followed, then slumped in the latter 1970s before picking up in the 90s, and today the country has attained a high level of human development, and I think we can all agree there's something special about Jamaica. It stands out, and everyone loves it, and its influence on the world has been incredible. From Rastafari to rocksteady to reggae music, immortalized by the great Bob Marley, to phenomenal athletes, including the fastest runners in the world. So that's it for Jamaica, and that's all from me for now. Bye-bye!
You bend down.
gonna hail. If you drop in it, you're gonna hail. If you drop in it, you're gonna hail.
Ilangoli.
Oh, Ilangoli. Ilangoli.
once. Enjoy yourself and have lots of fun. Serve God and live, my friend, and it will never done. Enjoy yourself. It's later than you think. Enjoy yourself while you're still in the pink. The years go by as quickly as you wink. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy yourself. It's late.
Enjoy. I gotta jump in here. 16 minutes past the hour, 4 o'clock. Good afternoon to you, Montreal and the world. And also want to say hello to all you beautiful people in Washington, D.C. Have you overthrown the government lately? We're still with you, hanging out on Sunshine Radio, WFFR, Sunshine Radio, Washington, D.C., covering the nation with the biggest station. So check it out, all right? So how you all doing? You must be wondering, how come Stretch is playing so many Jamaican ska and mento? Well, the real reason behind it, Jamaica celebrated 59 years of independence yesterday, and I'm one of those independence babies, and I remember it quite well. Jamaica had what you'd call a big independence ball at the National Stadium. And all the athletes, the singers of all things you can think of. Talking about athletes, I'm very pleased how the ladies are doing in Tokyo. I don't know if I can say the same thing for the men, but I have to give them props because I have a brother who went to that distance in the Olympics, the Commonwealth Games in Sao Paulo, Brazil. So I know it's very hard. The dedication for these athletes who have no money. They're going to come back to Jamaica and they're going to put the spikes in the coat or whatever they get, the jacket or the shirt, and that's it. You know, they have no sponsors. It's not like Bolt and the big names. So it's not easy for them to practice. And so I'm going to give them big props. But this afternoon, speaking of props, I have a double whammy. I'll have the loudest mouth that's on a microphone coming to you from out of New York. A lot of you are familiar with him. His name is Wasi, the singing MC from TNT via New York. He will be telling us all about what's happening on the scene in New York and around. Anything with the name Soca Calypso coming into New York, this man is on it, all right? Wasi. But before that, at 4:30, I hope we get him on. Young man, double bassist, Brandon Lewis. I hope I got that name right. He's the only black player in the Montreal Symphony Orchestra. So we're going to talk to him about that. A young man of Jamaican background, and how did he get there? Because in the classical world in Canada, we don't see too many blacks. Let's be honest with our thing that we're saying here. Now we really don't see too many, and I think it's a major achievement for this young man to have done that. It's a beautiful afternoon out there in Radio Land. What can I tell you? I am looking at it from inside here. I'm watching the TV. I am doing everything. You have to bear with me, folks. Me want to see what's going on in our sports world, too. Why shouldn't I? So that's what I am doing. I am watching the sports. America has a guy, number 7, I think. I can't remember his name, playing basketball. This guy will shoot from one end to the other net. I have never seen anybody like that in a long while. I'm trying to figure out what team he plays for. But I wish somebody would say something and tell me, but I can't hear because I have on the headphones. And Drew is laughing at me, you know, because he knows he should tell the old guy, but he can't call me old no more because he's a grandpa. Yeah, I'm talking about everything at the same time. So, by the way, he's the one who controls the Zoom, etc., etc. He's one member of the team. I'm going to read out the members of the team when I'm through here and I have some time. But right after we're finished with this young man from Montreal Symphony Orchestra, we're going to wish Drew, I won't tell you, it's a big surprise. Big surprise. He's going to feel the way I felt 3 years ago, 5 years ago. All right? That's a little hint. But pardon me, Drew, you want to say something now?
No,
I'm listening to you. Why am I not hearing you in my headphone? Hold on. Let me stop this music because I don't want to mishear anything. Let me stop this music here, Drew. And stop. Pause. Yes, Drew, can you hear me?
Yes, Stretch, can you hear me?
Yes, I'm hearing you loud and clear now. Is there anything you would like to tell me, or you want me to tell the whole of Montreal your business?
No, I would like to tell you that young gentleman you're talking about, number 7 from the USA.
Oh, yeah, good.
Yeah, his name is Kevin Durant, and he plays for the Brooklyn Nets.
But this guy is totally unbelievable. I watched him the other day outside the lines, and he got it up with his left hand, put it to his right, stood up on his two knees, jumped up on his legs. Shush! I said, man, you are a devil. You're evil.
It's guys like that. I always say, like, you never want to see them in a dark alley late at night.
I like that word. This guy is incredible. 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 I am telling you, but I think the U.S. won the gold.
Yeah, U.S. won the gold medal. And we got to say, happy independence.
Yes.
To all my Jamaican people. You know, Jamaica did always doing fantastic in the Olympics when it comes to the track and field. Got to say big up to the ladies. Got to say big up that young gentleman from Grenada that won the gold medal in the 400.
My God. Last
time.
What a history.
I think his last name is, I don't want to pronounce the first name wrong, but his last name is James.
Yes,
He got the bronze medal this
Kevin?
Time.
Kevin?
And you know, Stretch, I mentioned to someone, like, we have the West Indies in cricket.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we go to the Olympics?
I've been saying that since I was 13 years of age, 14 years of age. Why don't we have the West Indies athletic community, whatever you call it? We would dominate the sports in this world.
You know, because it takes nothing away from the country, the amount of athletes that goes, because that would represent the islands, because there's a qualifying time. And once an athlete from your country is within that qualifying time or the qualifying height that recommends to make the Olympics, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to qualify anyhow.
Yep. I've been saying that for years, because the West Indies cricket team, when they are on top, they are on top. It's one of the best cricket teams in the world. And we could do the same with athletics. And, you know, people wouldn't have to run to USA to get scholarship and all that, and then they treat them like garbage. I don't know. You guys are the younger generation coming up. You will.
And when you even look at the USA team and like Great Britain and even a lot of the European teams now, it's a lot of people with a Caribbean background, African background
that's
representing these countries.
That's exactly what I'm telling you. I see a guy post a thing on Facebook. He says, "For once, we are Americans and not Black Americans."
You know,
I thought I was so funny. Yeah, I was talking about that. I was talking about so many things earlier on that, you know, I am very proud of them. And we're looking forward to the next Olympics. You see that young girl that ran the, I think,
the first leg?
Yes.
Yeah.
Watch out for that one. Watch out for that. And there's another one, Brianna something in, she's 16 or something. Watch out for those two. The ladies.
You know what? Mm-hmm. You know what I found really amazing is that even without an audience, so many records were broken.
Well, you know,
they're like, new world records were set and new Olympic records were set, and that's even without the audience.
You know, Drew, if your heart is in what you're doing, you really don't need the audience, eh?
Correct.
You know, and watching them girls run, and this guy from Italy, I got to give him props. I got to give him props, because I didn't know this white guy could run so well.
Yeah, apparently he was the record holder for Italy 100 before Jacobs won the gold medal.
Wow. He's good. Yeah. He's good. And I am. I must say, I must congratulate him and Italy, because I never knew they had that kind of speed in Italy, because they're lovers. They love to hug, like the mayor of New York, you know what I mean? They love to hug and kiss on the cheeks and get in trouble. But I love my Italian brethren. I had to call one of them at work, and he say, "Hey, Car, you see my friend, eh? You see my friend? He 100 yards, 100. He the best." I say yes. I say yes, Nick. He's the best. But we joke around like that, you know. Yeah, man. So everything is everything, and I'm looking forward to this young man. Has he linked up us yet?
I don't see him in the Zoom as yet.
Okay, well, maybe you'll have to look for him, because I was hoping we could start on time, because he should be on at 4:30, and Wasi will be on at 5.
5 p.m.
And then next week, who will we be having, Drew?
Next week, we're going to have Montreal's own, out of the Littleton Music Stable, Kayla Allen.
Ah.
Beautiful, beautiful voice. She reminds me so much of Aaliyah.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, when I hear her voice, I remember. It reminds me of Aaliyah a lot.
Good.
So I'm looking forward to that next week, Saturday, 6 p.m. Kayla Allen will be joining us.
Right, and the following week?
The following week.
It'll be the Divas.
We're gonna, you know, we're looking for somebody that's very interested on the soca front.
Okay, we'll see.
Yeah.
All right.
But I think our young gentleman join us, so you could go back to ear for a couple of minutes while I set him up.
All right, my brother. So, all right, as I was saying, Drew is going to set him up. In case you don't know, Drew is the member of the team that sets up the Zoom and the flyers that you see. We do have is done by Marga K. He's been doing every flyer for us since generations. He's now a big shot in Toronto, Canada, and we miss him here, but he's doing well in Toronto, extremely well. That's his talent. And he's the one who sets up the flyers. Anything we have to print is done by Marga K. All right? And, of course, we have Mr. Colin and Bev, public relations. So everybody's there, and did I miss out anybody? I don't know. I think I missed out. Yeah, but he's not important. The commentators are Ted and Mr. Egbert Gay. And when we need a little advice, we go to Mr. Emil Barakat. And, should I mention him? Yeah, okay, I'll mention him. Oh, there's a young man. We're going to get going. The backbone of the show, of course, is the DJ, Mr. Nicholas, DJ Nicholas. And we have the young man online. How are you, sir?
Hey, how are you? I'm good.
Good. Looking good. First thing, pronounce your name for me, because I think I destroyed it this morning.
Oh, Brandon Lewis.
Brandon. Normally it's with an O-N.
I know. My mom wanted to be a little unique with the spellings. So.
And she is. You can tell her she messed up the guy on CKUT. Brandon, I want to say hello to you. Congrats to you. And that is the big piece of equipment in the background at your play.
Yeah, that's my double bass.
Why is it double? It's one thing I'm seeing there.
Well, it's one thing, but it is quite huge. Well, actually, the term double bass comes from the Baroque era, where the bass was added to the cello to add, more fundamental to the groups. Oh. So, I mean, it goes by different names, double bass, string bass, upright bass, you name it.
Hold on a minute, Phil. Google, volume 4. I got to turn down Google. He's all over the place. I have a Google thing here. All right, so we're going to get into this thing seriously. How did a young man, what's your background again?
Yeah, so my family's Jamaican. I grew up. Yeah, I grew up in the gospel church, and actually, happy Independence Day yesterday.
Yes, 59 years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah.
Go ahead.
Sure. So I grew up in the gospel church and Montreal West Church of God of Prophecy.
Ah, I know that church. Yes.
Yeah. My dad plays guitar. He plays reggae.
Mm.
He performs a lot of artists that come to Montreal. My mom sings as well in the church, and a lot of my family members sing.
All right. You know something, that's a big task, I think, in my own maybe stupid way, to be the only black musician amongst these quality, world-renowned musicians. How does it feel?
Well, definitely, I feel proud to be in my position, for sure.
Yes.
It's definitely taking a lot of hard work, a lot mm-hmm. of sacrifices, a lot of sleepless nights practicing away.
Mm.
I think a lot of people don't realize just how much work goes into being a classical musician. And mm-hmm. they think they can just pick it up one day and sound amazing, but, you know, it takes years.
I know. Classical music, boy, I don't know. Is it something, a taste you have to acquire? Or was it in your system?
It wasn't in my upbringing. Like I said, I grew up mostly with gospel music at home. But I was introduced to it in high school.
Ah.
Yeah.
Yes. By who? Your teacher?
Yeah, so I went to Faith School, and that's the school in Montreal that has a really fine music curriculum. And you know, in grade 4, we try out different instruments, strings, clarinet, trumpet, that kind of stuff. And so I was put into the strings department on cello first.
Mm-hmm.
And throughout the years, my teacher asked if I wanted to play double bass. I didn't really know what it was. I just said, sure, I'll try it out.
Why not? You're a Jamaican.
You know, no small task for us.
Right.
And so I was a part of the different music ensembles in the school. Then I joined the Faith Symphony Orchestra, and that's really the first time I was exposed to classical music.
Let me classical music was a way of life in Jamaica as a young man. I'm sure if you ask mom and dad, they'll tell you this, because on Sundays, it's only gospel and gospel music is gospel music and classical music. Let me get down this. I just wanted to impress you and let you know that I have a little taste. This is Schubert. Beautiful. I got to get away playing the music and listening to you talk. Just a minute. How do I do this? wait a minute there. I got to turn on this music because it's beautiful. You know what? I'll stop it until I can figure it out, because I want to hear your voice. Yes, we loved gospel music and classical music on Big RJR every Sunday from 8 o'clock in the morning to 8 o'clock at night. You will be hearing classical music. And whether you wanted to or not, because as a young kid, you were not allowed to talk too loudly on a Sunday. You go to church, you come back home from church, and you have your dinner and all that. And read. We had to read whether we wanted to or not. But enough of me. It's nice to see that you have, you have come a long way. I remembered listening to the Symphony Orchestra, the Montreal Symphony Orchestra, rehearse at the time. I think they used to rehearse. I can't remember the name of the hall, but I went down there with a friend of mine who was delivering some stuff. And there was they had a Japanese director at the time. A Japanese or Chinese?
Kent Dangano, yeah.
Yes. And he says, come in, have a seat. And we sat there and I said to myself, this is a powerful scene I'm involved with here. It was nice to hear that. And I can imagine how you felt the first time you played in front of an audience. How did it feel? What went through your head? Did you pinch yourself?
Are you talking about just the very first?
No, the very first time with the Montreal Symphony Orchestra in front of one of their audience.
Well, I will even say before the concert, just being in the first rehearsal with the Montreal Symphony, I was blown away because I was still at McGill at the time, and you know, a student orchestra is much different from a professional orchestra. And just the way that all the musicians feel the beat together, feel the music,
mm-hmm.
for me, it was very surreal. And for sure, when we got to the first concert, yes, I definitely had to pinch myself because I said, like, wow, I'm on a big stage with the MSO, in this huge hall that fits 3,000 people.
Mm.
I mean, of course I was nervous.
Yes, you had to. You know, I'm nervous talking to you now, to be honest with you, you know what I mean? And I'm tongue-tied, and this doesn't happen to me normally. But you know what? I'm going to put you over to Drew, my backup whenever I'm stuck. And he's going to ask you some questions. Drew, meet this young man.
How are you doing, Brandon?
I'm good. How are you, Drew?
I'm cool. I'm going to tell you, I'm like so last minute that I think about 3 o'clock, I started to do some research on you.
You're like me then, procrastinate a little bit.
Procrastinate. Because I Stretch told me about this interview about 2 weeks ago. Okay. And I was expecting him to ask all the questions, but I know at some point, he would have threw the baton over to me like he think I'm Jamaican, right? But I'm Bajan, you know what I mean? So, yeah, he think this is a relay, you know? I was checking up some stuff on you and I saw that. How was it when you did your audition for the Montreal Symphony Orchestra?
Well, that was a crazy day because it was my very first ever professional audition that I took.
Wow.
And I mean, my teacher, Ali Yazdanfar, he's the principal bass player in the Montreal Symphony. He was my private teacher while at McGill. Mm. And he really prepared me a lot for that moment. You know, we show up at like 9 a.m. We have to pick numbers to see who goes in what order. There's a whole list of music you have to prepare for these auditions. And of course, you know, I'm in the practice room, I'm hearing other people practicing, I'm trying to focus, stay in the zone. You know, just like any athlete before a performance, you know,
yes,
you have to focus.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, I went out there on the stage, you know, being on it was at the Maison Symphonique, so it's a huge stage by myself. It was quite daunting to hear my sound in a big hall. For sure, like I said before, nerves are always going to be a part of it, but I played to the best of my abilities, and it was a problem because I was able to get to the final round, and that allowed me to be a substitute player for the orchestra.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How many people, do you remember how many people was auditioning? Because I took when I was going through the information, I saw that when you're doing your interview, it's actually a blind interview where the judges, they don't see who is, they don't know the race, the color, the sex, anything like that. So about how many people was involved in that audition?
Oof, I think back, because this was back in 2016. I would say it was about 30 of us, around 30. And like you said, yeah, we get on stage and in front of me, there's just this big curtain that blocks the view from myself and the panel of juries. So yeah, they don't know who what you look like. They're just hearing how you sound and how you play.
How many double bass players are in the orchestra?
Typically, you'd see 8 double basses in a standard orchestra.
And how many members?
How many total members?
Total members, because I know it's a really big orchestra you guys have there.
Yeah, I think we're about 90 musicians.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah, I could tell you, me, I'm very big into classic, because I know one time I had a little Beethoven collection myself.
What?
And, yes, a stretch. And I can tell you one thing I always do when going home after parties,
92.5.
Oh, yeah. Yes. 99.5. Sometimes I have someone in the car with me and they're like, what are you listening to? Like, that soothed my soul after listening to all that reggae and soul and hip hop and everything. Just that peaceful orchestra on my way home puts me to bed wonderful.
I'm impressed, Drew.
A lot of people listen to classic music for the very same reason. They find it's relaxing. And even just the other day, I met a gentleman who's a coordinator for the St. Columba House in Point St. Charles. And he uses classical music, and specifically Eric Satie's music, to help people with mental health issues. So there's definitely a lot of benefits to classical music and how it...
There is. Yeah. This is why in Jamaica it was stated that we never had any major crimes on a Sunday. I don't know how true it is, but this was one of the things they used to talk about, because the tranquility of being Sunday and the classical music being played on the only radio station at the time, RGR. Anything else, Drew?
Tell me. Was there
go ahead.
Since classical music was so prevalent in Jamaica on Sundays, were there also symphony orchestras in Jamaica?
Yes, Jamaica had one of the finest symphony orchestra. Had an uncle who played for it. His name was George Nelson. And they had an orchestra that toured the world. You know, where we lived in Vineyard Town, and Sackville Road, they had the military band that rehearsed at 2 or 3 blocks over, and the symphony orchestra another 3 blocks away. So we grew up listening to that music. Anybody within my age group coming out of Jamaica will tell you that. So the symphony orchestra, of course, consisted of the color of the skin was a Caucasian look, because most of them lived in Jamaica at the time. And they traveled the world all over. And we learned to enjoy symphony music. Most, as Drew was saying, a lot of people, me too, I like to listen to Schubert. You're listening here in the background. But when I came to Canada, I sort of outgrew it. But it's always relaxing to hear that type of music. But, you know, before we go, and before I let Drew in one more time, I want to ask you something. I see you're doing something here that I'm totally, totally loved. I love. You and your partner, Allison, how do you say this? Obiora?
Yeah, Obiora, that's it.
Obiora. Tell me a little bit about that, Obiora Ensemble. A 25-member orchestra in which classical musicians from diverse cultural background can hone their skills, as well as to bring a new and diverse voice to classical music in Canada. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so this idea, I wouldn't say it's a new idea or unique, but it's something that we realized was necessary here. Because as you mentioned at the top, I'm often the only black musician in a symphony orchestra, in my experience. And, you know, growing up, I didn't learn about a lot of black classical composers or musicians that were that had a lot of success, who wrote beautiful music. And so we talked to a lot of musicians of color here in Canada, and I think everyone had the desire to create a group that could promote diversity and show the talents that we have, and to discover music that we don't often hear in Canada. And so we contacted a bunch of people. We got there are musicians that I worked with in the past or went to school with that I contacted. And we kind of just went through it, went forward with this idea. And Allison has a lot of arts administration experience, so she kind of knew how the organizational part should go, and me more the artistic side. And you know, we're able to, like, we're organizing our first concert August 28th. Just in a couple weeks.
Yes, August 28th. Yes.
Yeah.
Where will this be?
So this will be at the Salle Pierre Mercure, in the Centre Pierre Palladio, which is just at Barrie-UQAM Metro Station.
Right, right. And what you'll be having there is a diverse thing. It's where music is concerned.
Sorry, I didn't catch that.
No, will it be a diverse classical music, or, you know, straight classical, or a little bit? What am I trying to say?
We have four pieces on the program, and there are three of the four composers are Afro descendant.
Ah, that's what I was looking for.
Yeah, so we're opening the show with a wind quintet by Jeff Scott, who's an American horn player.
Wow, God, I'd like to hear that.
Yeah, and second, there's Samuel Coleridge Taylor, who is a an English composer of mixed race, but we will be performing his Nonet in F minor. Then we have Joseph Boulogne's First Symphony, and then our last piece is by Tchaikovsky, which is a more common or more familiar name in classical music.
Right.
And we thought to include this just so that, you know, audiences in classical music can appreciate something that's, I guess, more familiar, and maybe for us, the musicians, who are mostly musicians of color, it's a nice challenge for us to work together on this beautiful piece.
And you said this will be on Saturday the 28th?
Yeah, exactly. Yes. And tickets are available now, and there's also going to be a live stream for free.
Wow.
Because we want to reach as many people as possible.
Well, Drew and I will be instrumental that you'll be reaching as many as you can. We with our big mouth, will be talking about it quite often.
Well, and that's great, because we definitely need the Black community's support on this. I don't think that a lot of people realize how many Black composers are part of classical music. And, you know, we need the community's support on this to help not only make the community stronger and but also to see if there are kids who have an interest in classical music. And
right.
Like, for myself, I never had role models that looked like me growing up, and so we want to provide those role models to kids who might think they don't belong in classical music.
Oh boy, that's so true. Anything you want to ask, Drew?
Well, I think what I wanted to ask, you just hit on the nail. I was just going to ask him about if there's any young, talented musicians out there that want to, you know, get into his type of field. If there's any way that they could contact him, or, you know, if you have any direction that they could go, you know, or any advice for those young musicians out there who would like to get into the classical field.
I would say, if you have a passion for it, don't limit yourself. Don't, you know, I would say pursue your passion to the fullest. I think it's easy to be discouraged by life and not knowing which direction to take. But, you know, it's a lot of work. But, you know, for me, I had a supportive network, my family and all that, to push me. So I would say, if it's something you love to do, really go for it.
Good.
Yeah, I know you said your dad is a musician here in Montreal. Would you like to share with us who your dad is?
Who he is?
Yeah. His name.
Yeah, so his name is Albert Lewis, mm-hmm. or he goes by Howie as well.
Okay.
The reggae thing.
he was a part of the Resurrection Center.
Right.
He played on the band there.
He still plays?
He still plays. Not with the church, but he does a
gig here and there.
Exactly, yeah.
Right. You know, I am extremely proud of talking with you and looking at you, and a very personable young man. And I could see you sitting in that symphony orchestra. Very cool, calm, and calculated. How hard is that piece of equipment in the back? How hard is it to learn and to play?
Well... It's a very big instrument, and I mean, you have to have big hands to play that thing.
Ah,
and even just to carry it around, like it was quite a workout every day carrying it around Montreal. I don't know. It's from when I first started playing it. There was something about the sound that I loved. There was a dark richness to it.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it was nice playing music because it gave me a medium of expression, a way of expressing my emotions. And if I was feeling a certain way, I would just go to the instrument and play, and it would just calm me down.
Ah, is that right?
Yeah.
Nice, beautiful. Do they have anything for some people who want to think they can sing that I could join and learn to sing? No, I'm only kidding. I'm a chicken. But, you know,
you can do a little choir warm-ups.
Choir warm-ups. but, you know, I had so many questions I wanted to ask you. But, you know, I know you were born here, but have you ever been to Jamaica?
Oh, yeah. I've been back quite a few times. My grandparents have a house up by Highgate.
Highgate in St. Catherine. Yeah. Nice. Brandon Lewis, the only black player in the Montreal Symphony Orchestra, he will be showcasing a group that he has put together, and this is for any young man, young lady out there who would like to continue playing classical, because all of us, not all of us, but most of us had the piano lessons and the violin lessons and all that in our youth, and you would like to start this back up. Brandon would be the ideal person to connect with. And I'm before I go any further, let me thank the Community Contact. Because if I didn't see the Community Contact, I would not know about this young man. So, Brandon, you'll have to showcase yourself a little bit more. It's a major achievement, and us people in Montreal are very proud of you.
Thank you very much.
If anyone out there want to follow you on social media, what's your handles?
My handle on Instagram is Brandbasis. I'm also on Facebook. We have the Ensemble Obiora website at ensembleobiora.com. We're also on Instagram with the same Ensemble Obiora. You can find us easily. And I'm really thankful to be here with you guys.
You'll be back. Trust me, when it gets cold and all that, you'll be back, because I want people to hear the talent we have in Montreal. We have 3 more minutes to go. What would you like to say to us, to the city of Montreal and the listeners wide and far? I want to say hello to Jewel Jones, and I see Wasi's there. Our next guest is there. But what would you like to say, Brandon? What would you like to say?
You know, I think that classical music has excluded certain groups from participating, and what we're trying to do is taking back the space that black musicians mm-hmm. have afforded in this genre, And we what we want to do is bring newer audiences into the classical music sphere. You know, there's so much out there, so many talented musicians that we need to I guess respect and sort of bring back into recognition. So I'm hoping to see as many people from the community at the concert. I think it's a wonderful time. It's going to be a celebration, and it's going to be beautiful music to share with everyone.
Nice. And anything, Drew, would you like to say to the gentlemen?
I'll just like to ask you, besides your event coming up on the 28th of August, is there anything else that you guys will be, any other events that you guys would have upcoming?
Yeah, so mid-September, we have two mini concerts in the LaSalle and Southwest areas of Montreal. And this is part of the Conseil des Arts de Montréal's Quand l'art prend l'air program. And we're able to get funding for these two outdoor concerts. We also want to do community work with the Maison d'Haïti, even the Jamaica Association of Montreal and other cultural associations, because we believe that this the community outreach is a really important aspect to reach the people directly.
Yeah, don't forget to always update us with that info so we can let Montreal and the surrounding areas always be informed with what's going on your front.
Young man, I'm a big fan of yours, and I got tongue-tied, which is not often. I'm sure I'm going to hear it from Drew when this thing is over. For once, I've seen you shut up, Mr. Stretch, without anything to say. But I totally admire you, and I congratulate you on doing what you're doing. So keep up the good work, and keep us in touch, please. Whenever you have any concerts coming up, don't be afraid. Drew will set you up with all the communications. You have my phone number already, but he will set you up with all the communications. All right? So I thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Brandon.
Thank you.
Give your mom and dad a good kiss on the cheeks for me and tell them they've produced a wonderful, wonderful young man.
Thank you very much.
Take care. All right? Bye. CKUT 90.3 FM on your dial. We're here with you until 7 o'clock. Coming up right in a couple of minutes, we're going to play some ads, and then we will, of course, bring on the mouth from New York City, the singing MC.
It takes a good dose of courage and perseverance to get through a pandemic.
True, but it also takes a good dose of patience, resilience, confidence, optimism, humor, and love. Not to mention a dose of determination, endurance, empathy, motivation, hope, and ingenuity.
But above all, it takes a second dose of vaccine.
A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
Fabi and Mr. Blue present a last lap barbecue on Saturday, August 21st. From noon to 9 p.m. at Mackenzie King Park, Côte-Sainte Catherine and Westbury. Weather permitting, come out and enjoy. On the menu, barbecue pork and chicken, jerk pork and chicken roti, curry goat, salt fish, and lots of sides, including bakes and homemade juices. Wear your mask, social distancing required. That's Saturday, August 21st, noon to 9 p.m. at Mackenzie King Park, Côte St. Catherine and Westbury. Fabies and Mr. Blue's Last Lap Barbecue. For more information, call 514-771-7011.
With the It Pays to Be Vaccinated contest, your COVID-19 vaccination could pay off big time. Every Friday in August, you could win $150,000 and two scholarships of $10,000. Plus, if you've had both shots September 3rd, there's a draw for 16 scholarships of $20,000 and a jackpot of $1 million. Register now for the It Pays to Be Vaccinated contest at quebec.ca/vaccination contest. The sooner you're vaccinated, the faster you can take part. A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
Excuse me. We'll be right back.
Excuse me. Is that Wasi I am seeing there? Wasi. I guess he's not hearing me. You're not hearing me. Let me turn up here.
I can hear you.
You hear me?